This is LifeMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. So the first story we are discussing is the Reliance Jio, which has launched its 4G service yesterday, and it has sparked off a huge war in the telecom industry.
I think this is one of those moments which will fundamentally change the telecom business in India. Reliance has invested a huge sum of money in this business, 1,35,000 crore. They're going to invest another 15,000 crore in this, which is
right.
So the total will be around investment of around $25 billion, which is huge by any standards. They've set up a world-class high-tech data network around the country. And the most interesting thing is, I don't think they are seeing this as just a pipe business, because a lot of telcos make the mistake of just seeing it as a pipe business. If you look at the moves that Reliance is making, it is clear that it is seeing it as a content business, as a software business, and as a business in commerce and everything else that is related, healthcare, education. So I think this is going to change the way not just telcos operate, but also the way a lot of media companies operate, a lot of software companies operate, a lot of education companies operate, a lot of entertainment companies operate. It will disrupt the market. There's going to be a lot of competition. The offers are extremely attractive. I sent our photographer this morning to one of the shops to see whether there was a huge queue. He hasn't come back, so I'm assuming that he's probably
still
in the
there,
queue, right?
Yeah.
Or waiting to buy. A lot of people I've chats with in the newsroom plan to go out and buy this. And you would be, I think, foolish not to do so because of the kind of promotional offers that are there. And especially for people who in India right now are a little irritated with their telcos for a variety of reasons like poor call quality, fairly stingy data plans, I think these offers are really going to be very attractive and hard to resist. So it's going to change the market. The question to ask is, will Reliance make money? When? How? Good question. I don't know the answers. But then Reliance is a smart company, right? I mean, they're not doing this for altruistic reasons.
Right.
But again, I just want to make one more point. The first version of Reliance, which is now Reliance Communications, Reliance Infocom, when it launched in 2002, I think, was responsible for the hockey stick moment, as they call it in Indian telecom. Until then, the telecom industry, pretty small in India in terms of number of mobile connections. It just took off.
Right.
And it did because of, again, of the kind of promotional offers that they did. Then, of course, there were a variety of other issues. There was this ownership battle between Mukesh Ambani and his brother, and then there were service issues and all that. But I think that was a moment of disruption in the market, and it was the first moment of disruption in the market. What we are seeing now is another significant moment of disruption.
Great. Moving on, the next story is the rise and fall of Rocket Internet, which in three parts talks about its the company's journey in
India.
We've
just done one part so far.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, Rocket is a very interesting company. I mean, the model is brilliant. I mean, do clones of successful US and Chinese digital businesses in emerging markets. Find local people to do those. Hire those people from really top-notch consulting firms and investment banks.
Right.
Make them founders. So you're actually hiring entrepreneurs, right? Which is a model that several people have used, but Rocket most visibly because of the successes it has had. It's had some huge successes. Most recently in April, when Alibaba paid over $1 billion for a controlling stake in Lazada, which is the Amazon of Southeast Asia and operates across a variety of markets, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Vietnam. And these are very different markets, does
right.
well in
yeah.
most of them.
Yeah.
Didn't work in India and didn't work in India for several reasons. What are the reasons? I think it was the kind of structure they had, the kind of people they found, the kind of processes they followed. The local promoters felt those employees who became founders started believing that they didn't have enough skin in the game. So they were not working for the company. They were not working for the funder, which is Rocket. They all started working for themselves. There was huge churn. There seemed to have been some governance issues. So much so that they had significant successes initially. So if you look at Jabong and if you look at Jabong's past, huge success. Company which was once valued very, very lucratively, right? And you look at the valuation at which it got sold recently to Myntra. I think you look at the difference that was there. And I think it's one of those instances where a model that worked everywhere else in the world didn't work, because I think at one level also fundamentally you need the passion that only promoters can bring. Could also explain why large companies rarely do extremely innovative
right.
things in the digital space, right? I mean, you have these startups that come and they do these cool things. Bigger lesson is also that, you know, you look at Rocket itself. What is the philosophy? Philosophy was find an idea, imitate the idea, hire founders, grow the business at reckless speed. Be very aggressive about it. Don't look at the cause, but grow and exit. If you're building a company for exit, I think you're fundamentally doomed.
Right.
May work.
Hmm.
I mean, it could still work for them in many other parts of the world. But I think if you are only deciding to build a company to sell it at some point in time, something seems wrong about that.
True. So we wait for part two and three to come.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Sure. The next story is GDP data, which has just been released for the June quarter. So what do you think are the key takeaways from that?
I think it's not bad, right? I mean, 7.1% GDP, 7.3% GVA, which is probably the number that I would look at. In fact, the Reserve Bank only looks at GVA, which is gross value added. It means things are not so bad, right? I mean, we still need to get a lot of things right and manage to get investment back on track, both private as well as public investment. But there are some significant projects in the pipeline. GST has been passed, so that should act as, I mean, eventually the benefits will transpire. It's expected to add, the optimistic expectations are that it'll add around 1.5 percentage points or 2 percentage points to GDP, even if it adds 1. You're over 8.
Right.
8 is a magic number. The chief of economic advisor at this morning being quoted in the papers as saying double-digit growth is possible. I'm not sure. We've never grown at double-digit rates. But 8, if you get above 8, I think you're in rarefied territory.
Mm.
I mean, for a large economy, we are now a large economy. We are over 2 trillion.
Right.
And this is in proper terms. I'm not even using purchasing power parity or anything. To grow over 8% is not bad. So I think things are not bad. We, however, need to make sure that the investment cycle kicks in again. 7.3% GVA is a number that many countries in the world, their leaders would give an arm and a leg for.
True. So that's promising. We wrap up with the last story, which is on IT blues, which is again a long form on how the IT companies are sort of losing steam.
Bound to happen. I think this is a business that has got, again, it's a word that you'll hear often, not just in Mint, everywhere else, disrupted.
Right.
You look at what they're getting disrupted by. One, it's on the technology side where you have new technologies like artificial intelligence and automation, which is affecting the traditional way in which these guys work.
Right.
So that's one. Two, you look at the kind of change that their primary customers are going through. Banks, insurance companies, financial services companies, who themselves are being disrupted in many ways.
Right.
I mean, fintech is one of these hot areas.
Yeah.
And many of these big companies are really struggling to stay afloat. So they have to deal with all these changes in some ways. And they've made a start, right, to give them their due. All Indian IT services companies have got artificial intelligence platforms. They're doing work in automation and all that. Question is, are they doing enough? Are they changing rapidly enough? And they've clearly been found wanting. But again, I mean, they've been found wanting largely by the market. Right? I mean,
right.
We have this tendency of evaluating companies in the short term, right? I mean, we look at their quarterly results and then analysts put out these critical reports and the numbers go down. But if you were to, you know, for just a moment, it's not a luxury that I often have. If I were to step back and say, are they doing the right thing from a 5-year perspective or a 10-year perspective?
Right.
I would think so, right? And some of these bets they've made will probably take some time to pay off.
Sure.
But that said, this is a period of crisis. What happens when they don't, at a very elementary level, if they don't have to hire as many people as they currently hire, what happens to all these engineers that we are churning out?
Right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no answer to that question because we don't have a manufacturing base which is creating a lot of jobs.
Right.
We are largely a services-driven economy. So the IT sector not doing badly even in the short term is bad news, which is why you're seeing a lot of these reports that are coming out.
Right. So we'll just have to wait and watch and we'll wrap it up there.
So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.